racing in the old bayou. Find your favorite fishing pole. Find out where's the next honey hole. Only on the Top Rod Fishing Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240, Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins. Good morning, Rick.
Morning, Tony.
Anyway, for our weekly Fishing and Hunting Show, and welcome to Kane Radio. As I mentioned, you know, we're on FM band 107.5 and AM 1240. And as always, the purpose of this show is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and the hunting in the area, along with Louisiana and stories around the USA and the world. And, Rick, due to these sponsors, that's why we're here each week for you.
Right, Tony. We've got to appreciate and thank our sponsors. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, Quarter Tavern, Clico, and our newest sponsor, Home Run Pizza.
Home Run Pizza. Rick, how are things going for you out there,
It's doing good, Tony. You know, I appreciate all of my customers, and we get new customers just about every afternoon. We do lunch from 11 to 2, and then we crank back up from 5 to 9 with the dinner selection. And it's really been going well, Tony. And I just want to thank everybody for giving us a chance, you know.
Yeah, and also when you go in there, get you a liter, a bottle, a glass, whatever, a Coke, Sprite, Diet Coke, water, yep. Minute Maid, lemonade, pink lemonade, fruit punch. So
that's right. Oh, yeah.
You got it all there lined up.
Good, yes, sir.
Good going, man. Anyway,
yep.
Well, Rick, elsewhere, give us a call if you want to talk and give us a little fishing story or tell us where they're biting, 367-1240. You can also listen to Kane Radio online at www.kane.com. 1240.com. We stream everywhere, so pull us up on any accessible internet device. We're live here at the studios at 107 West Main Street here in downtown New Iberia, right next to Victor's Cafeteria, which is open now. And Rick, freshwater, saltwater fishing was shaking, man.
Tony, I spoke to one of my customers that came through the drive-thru window, and he was telling me that they're catching some nice specks. He wouldn't really, you know, pinpoint where they were at, but he said, Rick, we're catching some big specks. He said they was catching some 4 or 5 pound specks.
That
down
is big specs.
Yeah, at the point. And he said they were nice, you know. And on the freshwater side, I see the basin had came down. I'm going to try to make a trip this afternoon, Tony. But then I don't know why it's spiking back up. And then we got these north winds, unless it could just be, you know, with all the north wind pushing the water out, maybe some of it's going to come back or they're diverting some water somewhere because it's going to go down. Right above 4, but I see it's projected next week to go back up to 6.3. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I can't help you there either, unless it's just the. But there had been, well, we had some rainwater a while back, but nothing really consistent.
Right.
You know, we had some really beautiful days the last few days,
yeah.
You know.
Yes, sir. And in the lake, I heard they're starting to pick up a few sockeye, Tony, in the bar pits, fishing about 4 to 6 foot deep. And rather than that, you know, Toledo Bend, they're picking up a few fish over there. They're still fishing shiners at 15 to 20 foot of water on the drop-offs. And those fish are probably, you know, going to feed up, Tony, and get ready for the winter time. They'll go a little deeper, you know, and then just kind of suspend is what we call it in the fishing term. But, you know, Toledo Bend is just, it's been good, real good lately. And so has the basin. And the basin... Well, like I said, it should be good this weekend, Tony, but when it starts bumping up, they may slow down this a little bit because two foot is a lot for the water to come up.
Yeah, that is at this time of the year, too, considering everything. And, you know, we've had pleasant north winds, but what was it? Maybe Wednesday it was blowing pretty hard.
Right.
You know, we had 15, maybe possibly 20-mile-an-hour winds. And that night when it rained,
yeah.
You know, when that front came through – I know it blew down a few branches in my yard. So
yeah, and it turned over some signs, too, on St. Peter Street. I noticed, like you said, Wednesday morning, it got pretty windy.
Yeah. I don't know if we have a bait of the day. I didn't see anything that you
No,
might have
Tony,
had.
I didn't bring one, but we're talking about lines. I'm going to talk a little bit about lines today. You know, different sizes. In fact, when I leave here, I got to go cut some grass, and then I got about 4 of my reels. Speaking of lines, Tony, once you make a trip, or you go about 5 or 6 times, the line starts getting a memory, and it, you know, it'll start coiling up on you. And when you throw your line out, you know, you cast and you start seeing it coil up. There's a it's called reel magic. It's some pretty good stuff too. But even after a while, that reel magic, it takes that memory out of the line. But after a while, even that doesn't work. So I've got about 4 or 5 of my reels. And around here, Tony, I find that 17-pound test is the best all-around line. Now, when you go up to Toledo Bend, or like when you're fishing our pond, I kind of downsize to like 14. But then you also got to be careful, you know, because when I set the hook, I set it pretty hard. And you have to back off on your drag and let it slip, especially if you get a hold of a big fish, because it will break 14-pound test. Now, when we go to Toledo, we got to step down to even 10 because the water up there is like gin in a lot of spots. And when you hit those big fish, you got to really set your drag, and you just got to play them. But around here, like I said, Tony, with the stained water like in the basin, I use 17-strand clear blue original is the one that I like, and I find that that's a real good tough line. Now, if I'm throwing a bigger top water like a buzz bait, I'll step up to 20, you know, because when those big fish hit it, you got to get them out of the treetops, and they'll run in there, you know, and snag you up. But anyway, it's a little bit about line today. Like I said, you know, usually to clear the water, you want to downsize and go from go down from 14 to about 10-pound test. But like I said, in the basin, I find 17-pound test is about your best all-around line.
Well, good information, Rick, you know, in that, you know, because a lot of people just, they don't know the difference between a 5-pound test and a 20-pound test, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just good to educate people with what works.
Yeah.
And that's...
And I'll tell you another little trick, Tony, and I'm sorry for cutting you off while I'm thinking about it. In the springtime, you don't have to worry as much because your fish are more aggressive, like, you know, when they're spawning or right before they spawn. And if you're using braid is a mixture of like a tan color and more or less green. So what I do is I take, and it's a little trick that works very well. You get you a black permanent marker, and you mark cover from your bait, go up about 3 foot. You see, that way the line is darker, and when it hits the water, you know, in the water, the reflection, the fish don't see it as good. But that's just a little trick I picked up through the years, you know.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Oh, yeah. Anyway, with that, too, some good news for our Red Snapper people. I guess you could say it's good news. For the first time in years, the recreational red snapper bag limit in Louisiana will double to 4 fish per person per day. Additionally, the red snapper season is moving to 7 days per week until further notice. The changes will be welcomed by anglers along with the marinas and other entities that depend on business and from recreational anglers. The increased daily bag limit, an open season was set yesterday when the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, Jack Montesette, signed a declaration of emergency to reopen the recreational red snapper season. Today, Friday, the press release came out yesterday. Today, Friday, the September 24th. This is the first 4-bag limit set by the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries since the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council gave management authority for private recreational red snapper fishing to Louisiana and other Gulf states in April of 2019. If you remember all that, they turned it over to the local people instead of the federal government. And closed during the season, you know, it closed on September 7th, allowed staff an opportunity to analyze the harvest limits. L.A. Creole data indicated there was approximately 30% or 250,000 pounds of red snapper remaining for anglers to harvest this year. Opening the season now allows anglers the ability to harvest amberjack also and red snapper simultaneously as the recreational greater amberjack season is scheduled to run through October. L.A. Creole, Louisiana Department of Wildlife's near real-time landings data collection program indicates that 587,000 pounds or 70% of Louisiana's 2021 annual private allocation of 832,000 pounds have been harvested. The season will remain open to L.A. Creole estimates to indicate they were approaching the allocation. So, you can go out there every day now, you know, if people are fishing, and for 4 daily red snapper per person. So, good news. And see how long it takes. Of course, you know, there were a lot of people who weren't fishing towards the end of August and beginning of September due to all the storms and all and the waste and everything. So, some good news there for people, and hopefully they'll be able to take advantage of it. And as always, each week I'm going to announce this until they have the October meeting. Not sure what that date's going to be, but the Louisiana Department of Wildlife is asking saltwater anglers to complete that website survey on speckled trout and the management options. So it's important to get out there and give your thoughts and what you've been catching and all. It's easy. You got to negotiate through the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, but it's not bad. And take that survey and have your opinion voiced on whether you think the 25 limit's too much or not enough, or or whatever the case may be. So it's good for them to know. So especially you guys that go out there and fish and see what you think, because we've talked about it many times. 25 speckled trout, that's 50 fillets, and that's a lot of fish.
Right. Well, on your bass now, Tony, you know, not just keeping, you know, in general fishing, 10 per man. So, and even that, I think sometimes, you know, it may be, of course, 10 fish is not a lot when you're catching, you know, but you can always catch and release. But that's how they come up with these surveys, just like with the red snapper, you know, they brought it up to 4. So between the surveys and they go out there and they do quotas and then how much people catch, you know. So it's a good thing, like you said, to help them out with the survey.
Yeah, and they use a lot of that information. You know, it's helpful. Don't feel like your thoughts are not important, because especially you guys are out there once and twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that are fishing salt water, and they just want to know. And, you know, it's the specs have been running kind of slow lately. Like you said, they've had some opportunity, and with the weather changing and the water emptying the basin, maybe we'll see some more salinity in the water around the cove in those places.
Oh, yeah,
trash
it's going to pick
places
up, Tony.
Like that.
Oh, yeah, here in the next probably 3 or 4 weeks, spec fishing will probably be real well.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, some event that's happened every year for more than 25 years is Clean Out Your Freezer Day next weekend. And Hunters Who Care to Share have been with us for over 25 years. Food for the needy among us is always never more profound than today, as thousands among us are without a hot meal, not only daily, but for some days on end. So anyway, next Sunday, or should I say this Sunday coming, the 26th, Hunters for the Hungry will have 22 South Louisiana locations for its annual Clean Out Your Freezer. You know, you get some meat in there that's been in there a while, and food and whatever the case may be, and you just haven't gotten to it. And, well, they got people that could use it, so especially if you pound up more each year. So last year's effort collected more than almost 25,000 pounds of frozen game and fish for soup kitchen shelters across the state. And there are 8 more allocation sites in central and north parishes. Well, in this area from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Cadiana sites are Cajun Field at 2351 West Congress in Lafayette.
All right.
Giles Nissan on the I-49 Service Road in Opelousas. And First Assembly of God on 3555 Barrett School Road in Youngsville. Chop Specialty Meats right there on Albertson's Parkway.
Yes, sir.
In that regard, and Broussard and MC Taxidermy at 3829 North Evangeline Thruway in Karen Crow. And all those collections will go to the refinery mission. And it helps out all those frozen donations, well seed and labeled and dated. And for a complete list, to go to Hunters for the Hungry website at small h4la.org. So it's just important, Rick, and you know as well as I do, man, those guys that hunt and fish a lot, there's some food there they hadn't touched in a while.
Another good program, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. And 25,000 pounds last year, so went to a lot of food people that had some need, and it's always important to think about those people in that regard. So
you're right.
Anyway, I got a quick note here. Check out the Louisiana High School Bass Fishing Tournament. And the top 20 results, we're just going to give you some of the local fishermen in this area. But they had 152 high school teams fishing, Ricky.
That's getting to be big time.
And it's still not a certified sport, but it's getting there quickly.
It won't be long.
That's right. So 152 teams. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So, and they were out there on Cypress Bend and Toledo Bend with the anglers and the high school team in numbers. Bass limit was 5. In the top 20, the number one team was Chance Shelby and Tyler Jordan. They're from Live Oak. That's out there kind of east of Baton Rouge. They had 5 bass at 15.457 pounds. And also in second place was Tanner Miller and Ross Miller from Notre Dame High School in Crawley at just about 13 pounds. Sadie Guidry and Dylan Malonso at Turlings Catholic right there in Lafayette had 11.61 pounds. They were ninth. And Drake and Evan LaBeouf of Turlings, again, they had 2 teams at 11.95. The big bass was Myra Ross at 9.66 pounds. That's a nice beauty
nice
there.
Fish, aren't you?
You're right. And then with the Louisiana Junior Bass, the top 5 results, and some of the people from this area, the top one was Jack Bernardo and Dylan Johnson of Southwest Bassmasters. I'm not sure where that's out of. They had 10 pounds, a little over 10 pounds. From Central Catholic of Morgan City, Pierce, Piku, and Jackson Plaisance had 6.8 pounds. And in fourth from Central Catholic, they had 2 teams, Mason Blanco and Parker Jennings. The big bass in that tournament was Bernardo Johnson with 4.33 pounds. So pretty good all around day too,
yeah.
There, Rick.
Oh yeah,
for those high schoolers,
right?
And you know, it's those high schoolers, even though they have all the experience, they still can do pretty well fishing, if you know what I mean.
So, fish, yeah.
Anyway, National Hunting and Fishing Day. Grab your fishing poles and head out to the water, because National Hunting and Fishing Day is today. Today, not all Americans have countless lakes, rivers, and shores in an angler's paradise like we do. So where do you have to go to best odds of snagging a big bass? So Lawn Love ranked 50 states to determine the 2021 best and worst states for fishing.
All right.
We look for high levels of community interest in the sport and an abundance of water resources, easy access to gear, affordable fishing licenses, among other factors. Here's how Louisiana stacks up, Rick.
I knew that was coming.
All right. Anyway, here we go. Louisiana's rank in some states' key metrics, all right? One equals the best.
All right.
Fishing licenses issued per capita, we're 13th.
All right.
Percentage of state covered by water, we're 8th.
Okay.
Shoreline mileage, we're 3rd. Cost of fishing licenses, tags, permits, and stamps per license holder, we're 9th.
Okay.
And fishing gear stores per 100,000 residents, we're 18th. And you can go to the full rankings and analysts, and it can be found on lawnlove.com. So you have to negotiate that through a little bit. I thought we'd been a little higher in some of those areas, you know, because like you always said, it takes you maybe 20 to 30 minutes to go from freshwater to saltwater fishing this area, and there's not many places you can find that.
Tony, back in my old state of Georgia, you got to travel, not unless you live on a reservoir. But what I'm saying, if you live in a town, say, the size of New Iberia, up there where my uncles and them go fishing, they might have to ride an hour, hour and a half. So you fish all day, and you got to ride all the way back home. And like I told you, I fish pretty much all over this country, Tony, and you can't beat. I mean, you got Toledo Bend, we got the Basin, we got the Bay. I mean, you can't beat it, you know?
You're right. I mean, it's right there. Everything, and like I said, 30 minutes either way.
Oh yeah,
you can saltwater fish or freshwater fish, and it's.
I love the basin. Now that the water's low, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's still going to be kind of tough to get out of Sheraton, but I'm going to go to, unless you fish and stay in Sheraton, you're all right. You know, with the sandbars, just please be careful, because if you hit a sandbar just right, Tony, it stops you dry. You know, and it can't throw you out of the boat, even though you got your personal life jacket, you know, flotation device. But I put down at Miette Point and just take your time. And, I mean, it's a little further to get to Miette Point, but that's such a nice landing, Tony, that they built. You know, it's probably, I don't know, going on 7, 8, maybe 10 years old now. Time flies by. But at Miette Point, it's a nice setup, and you got plenty of, you know, deep water. And then once you hit the GA, you just got to be careful. But it's a nice setup at Miette Point.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Rick, it's always good fishing out there. And with the water levels the way they are right now.
You got to be careful.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. And we're talking about flushing out the basin and trying to get that salinity back better out there in the saltwater areas, where it be the Cove, East Cote Blanche Bay, or all those areas below Franklin and all, starting to come to fruition for fishing for saltwater.
So it should only get better.
Knock on wood, and the four snapper limit every day, not just weekends, every day.
Oh, yeah.
So and then we'll see what happens in that regard to the catch process, so with allocations. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and take our first break this morning. You're listening to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. We'll have more right after this.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dawes Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dawes Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Everyone loves pizza, and everyone loves a home run. Put them together, and you have Home Run Pizza. And yes, right here in New Iberia, located at 3816 East Old Spanish Trail, it's New Iberia's newest takeout pizza, and delivery is available. Dough is made fresh each day, and you get an assortment of toppings. Try the Grand Slam, the Double Play, or Mr. Meaty. They're all home runs at Home Run Pizza. 256-5783. That's 256-5783.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
A pet carrier, a full tank of gas, a flashlight with extra batteries, hammer, nails, tape, boards, handsaw, matches, a fire extinguisher, water jugs, money and important documents, a battery-powered radio. Just a few of the things you'll need to prepare for the next storm. Your safe tomorrow begins today. Visit Clinko.com/storm safety to learn more. Clinko, connecting Louisiana's future.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane 107.5, AM 1240, and streaming at Kane1240.com.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm your host, Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins. And Ricky, you know, we talked about this for the last few weeks, but here it is. The extensive fish kill reported in Lake Salvador and Bayou Gauche. And the fish kills, of course, they're related to Hurricane Ida. Fish kill related. And Lake Salvador, if you're wondering, well, where is that? Well, when you go through Desalman, it's south of there, and it's a pretty big lake. It's probably cool. I mean, you can't see across it. Right. It's miles across. So when you see Lake Desalman right there below Highway 90, future one I-49, but those areas back up in there in Lafitte and the Intercoastal Waterway, it's really gorgeous back up in there, and there's a lot of water back up in there. And that's where they're starting to notice where the water settled in after the storm at about 7 to 8 feet above normal.
Yeah.
And it poured salt water out and then above 4 or 5 feet above that. So, but residents in that area have seen in some mighty big fish kills where dead sockeye, bass, catfish, and including some big cats that were in the water in Bayou Gauche, and amazing number of fish. Seemed like salt water just poured in there. So
So when it turns, what's called turning over, Tony, it's hard for fish to survive, man. It's just, you know, Mother Nature, and that's a sad part about Mother Nature. But, when those storms come in, it's going to happen, you know.
You're right, and it's speculated that the fish die-off was probable since the water system as far as Desalman was even shut off. So, we were warned about that, and, you know, we've had it our share here when we'd have bigger storms in this area.
Yes, sir.
So, the die-off, and according to the press release, fish kills related to hurricanes are generally caused by low dissolved oxygen in the water and storm surge and churning up the oxygen, poor water, sediment, sudden input of large amounts of organic debris in the waterways, decomposition of organic material will further deplete the dissolved oxygen in the water and causing the fish to suffocate, basically, is what happens.
That's right.
And Louisiana native fish species have a perfect record. We do rebound, though, but it takes a while.
Yeah.
And storm-related fish kills have occurred in Louisiana since before recorded history, as the ecosystems have evolved to be resilient and bounce back from them. And while fish kills are shocking to experience and can appear devastating, they often lead to a rejuvenated system too.
Yeah.
So that's healthy and natural and replenished the following years. It's just like, hate to say it, just like some of those forest fires we have, but natural forest fires, not arson. And that it cleans out the bottom of the forest and the trees grow back. And it happens, you know, because lightning's been striking trees forever.
That's right.
Since they've been around. So we'll see how.
Since we had Andrew, Tony, it took us, we did a lot of restocking. We threw tournaments to raise money to buy fingerlings for the lake. I want to say it took us a good 5 or 6 years to get the lake back on track.
You know,
and not say back on track, but to where when you restocked and then we moved some fish, it took a little while, you know, now it's doing tremendous. Thank goodness we didn't get a storm yet this year, and I hope we don't. But like you said, it takes a while to to get it back, you know, to where it's fishable.
Yeah, historically, it takes a bass a year to gain a pound, you know. So,
right.
you know, to get those 5-pounders, 6-pounders, it's going to take a few years,
that's
you
right.
know, when you start dumping the fingerlings in there. So,
right.
just nature's way, that's all.
You're right.
Anyway, also, a little hunting news for you. Of course, Hurricane Ida punched southeast Louisiana. Will Teal feel the blow? So, you know, I think it was Dickens that had that famous line in one of his books that it was the worst of times, it was the best of times. But in some areas of Louisiana, the best of times are rolling on the bayou with approaching hunting season and arrival football, you know, and all that. So anyway, the early part of the state, you know, the teal season started September 11th, and the last day of the early season is the 26th, which will be Sunday,
right.
and it's almost over this weekend. So
yeah.
And add in plenty of blue-winged teal, green-winged teal, and even rare cinnamon teal or two-heading for the bayou. So the good news is that the six-bag daily limit for teal,
right.
which not like to have right now in the September life, you know, you go down there in southeast Louisiana, I don't even think that some areas you can go into hunting because of all the debris and all still all over in the bayous and all in the ponds. So, but teal hunting prospects, you know, in that. So what's good about it is that Ida did some good in the coastal marshes that have been swamped and adding, you know, the green, the vegetation is going to be growing back and all, but in that side of the state. But here on this side of the state in the southwest portion, man, they're talking about it looks like it's going to be pretty good, but there were a lot of rumors out there a couple of weeks ago that they were even floating around that the department was considering pulling the plug on the early teal season throughout the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
So at least mostly badly affected areas. So like many rumors these days after a severe hurricane at coastal region, things kind of shaped off, and they haven't instituted any changes to the duck season so far, you know, because there's a lot of hunting down there in southeast part of the state. So hope on the horizon that how things were as bad as they were in the southeastern quadrant of Louisiana. Keep in mind elsewhere, there's little evidence, you know, even though we had two enormous hurricanes in southwestern Louisiana last year with Laura and also with Delta. The times are much better, so the first flocks of blue wings and their green wing cousins have been come roaring by. So part of the reason is that optimism forecast for the habitat. So and Schutman had a little snippet recently that there is veritable buffet, waiting for the teal season to descend on southwest Louisiana. It looks promising for the waterfowlers in the region. If the ducks come down with the special teal season underway, and Schutman then referred to the Louisiana Wildlife Fisheries waterfowl story by leader Larry Reynolds, who confirmed that the banquet table is set, and I think habitat conditions are much better in the last couple of years. The teal season is still pretty good shape despite Hurricane Ida, and we've really got a good habitat here, and there are places in the marsh where wild malay looks like Kansas sweet, and it all depends on our dates and catch flights. And they're also talking about, Schutman mentioned, in southwest Louisiana, the table is set for a good early teal season, which is taking place now in Sunday, though.
Right.
And do keep in mind the timing aspect noted that the early teal roar south each year in September thanks to the shortening days and triggering the migratory urge. So we'll see how that is. So that's meaning early teal season. It's here, gone tomorrow, though, over the weekend. And hopefully that's a good setup for the duck season that's on its way, too, Rick. So we know we try to give our hunters some talk here with hunting news and all. Maybe we'll give us a little bit more. Deer season's right around the corner. You guys, you know, there's a lot to do. And be careful out there. I had a friend of mine whose father-in-law went to clean up his deer stand and all that, and lo and behold, he's walking away from it, and he comes crashing down, ended up taking his life over in East Texas. So, just a tragic story. So for that guy, and really tough if you think about it too, Rick. So, you know, and a lot of deer hunters in this area that traverse to North Louisiana and cross the state line between Mississippi and Louisiana up there above.
I had a friend of mine this morning going to Winfield and check on it side by side and then fill up the deer feeder. So,
just check.
Won't be long.
Yeah, check your stance and all that, especially those guys that hook those chairs into the trees. You know, boy, that's
Oh, yeah, them climbing stands.
Oh,
yeah,
that's real risky. You know, I can understand climbing a ladder, getting to a booth and all.
They get up 30, 40 feet.
Oh, you're sure right.
And that old north wind's blowing, and you got to love that sport.
Oh, we do. But you know what? If you do, if you are lucky and able to bag what the limits allow, you got plenty of deer meat for the coming winter and the spring and all. So that's why a lot of them out there, they just enjoy it. So, and I tell you, that venison's good to eat.
There's no doubt about that.
I got
my share of deer sausage thanks to my oldest son, and I tell you what, it's good.
I hear you. Anyway, today's Friday the 24th, and the tides for this weekend, the sun rose at 6:57. Sun's going to set at 7 o'clock in the high and low tide chart. The first low tide was at 12:08 this morning, and the next low tide at 12:23, right afternoon. The first high tide was at 5:30 this morning, the next high tide at 8:11 tonight. Saturday the 25th, the sun's going to rise at 6:58 and sunset at 7. In the high and low tide chart, you can see the first low tide will be at 12:43. That's Friday night, Saturday morning. The next low tide at 1:01 p.m. The first high tide will be at 5:17 Saturday morning, and the next high tide at 9:31 that night. On the 26th, Sunday, the sun is going to rise at 6:58 and set at 6:59, so just about an equal 12 hours of sunlight and nighttime. So high and low tide chart. First low tide will be at 1:28 in the morning. That's Sunday morning, Saturday night. And the next low tide at 1:45. First high tide, 3:52 a.m. It will be in the next high tide at 10:59. The average water temperature, Southwest Pass, Vermilion Bay, it's at a crisp 72 degrees.
Cooling down.
And it has. So.
Then I noticed, too, Tony, in the afternoon, the old sun's starting to go down a little earlier.
That's right.
That time of year.
Just about. So, and, you know, we're not far away from daylight savings time kicking off, so we're going to lose another hour of daylight at night. So instead of setting at 6, it'll be at 5. So
you're right.
Anyway, we'll see how that all comes out.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, Rick, as always, you know, we wouldn't be here for these fine people, man.
You're right, Tony. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Dole's Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, the Quarter Tavern, Clico, and our newest sponsor, Home Run Pizza.
And our motto, as always,
kids that hunt and fish, don't steal and deal.